Welcome back to Beyond the Uniform. I'm Justin Asiri, and each week I meet with military veterans to learn about their civilian career, what they do, how they got there, and advice for other veterans seeking to do the same. Today's episode number 146 with Mike Cirelli.
You wouldn't step out onto a mission in Iraq or Afghanistan without doing diligent mission preparation and planning. Your transition should be approached the same way, except it is more the MDMP process, military decision-making process. It is thorough. So if you start 2 years out, you start that personal inventory, you're talking about leadership traits, which is the first step that we designed in what we call the veteran transition map, is number one is know thyself.
Special thanks to George Randall for making this introduction. Mike started EF Overwatch as part of Jocko Willink's Echelon Front. In this interview, we talk about the veteran transition map and the importance of one's self-assessment about their strengths and weaknesses. We talk about the one thing that Mike would encourage veterans to leave behind in the military and why this one thing is such a risk. We talk about what it's like starting two organizations and why Mike thinks that veterans should definitely start a for-profit company over a nonprofit company. He should know he started both. We talk about extreme ownership and why this mindset is revolutionizing the business world. It was hard for me to remember during this interview that Mike separated just a year ago, and to hear about what's going on in his life and what he's done in the last year is really mind-blowing. So I think you'll enjoy this interview whether you're interested in entrepreneurship or not. As always, at beyondtheuniform.io, you will find show notes for this episode. Special thanks to Kathleen Dillon for the text transcript. You will find resources, which are linked to everything that we discuss, so makes it easier for you to find those things. Also, a reminder to check out Beyond the Uniform's new coaching program, where we pair you with subsidized, certified executive and career coaches designed and trained to help you identify your next career move, whether that's whether or not to leave the military or whether you've been out for 30 years and are thinking about that next job. It is a great resource and really pleased with the results we're seeing there. So with that, let's dive in to my conversation with Mike. Well, joining me today in Austin, Texas, is Mike Cirelli. Mike, welcome to Beyond the Uniform.
Justin, thank you for having me.
I wanted to give our listeners an abbreviated bio. Mike is a retired U.S. Navy SEAL officer, a graduate of the University of Texas McCombs Business School, and now a leadership instructor, speaker, and strategic advisor for Echelon Front. His title is president of Echelon Front Overwatch, which is a company that specializes in recruiting, training, and the placement of U.S. Special Operations Forces veterans with companies seeking leaders with an extreme ownership mindset to build their ranks and dominate on their battlefields. Mike served for 15 years as an officer in the SEAL team and 5 years in the U.S. Marine Corps as an enlisted recon marine and scout sniper. He served in SEAL Team 3, where he led major combat operations that played a pivotal role in the Battle of Ramadi in 2006. Mike assumed duties as the primary leadership instructor for all officers graduating from the SEAL training pipeline and was selected for assignment to the Joint Special Operations Command, where he completed multiple combat deployments. So Mike, maybe to start things off, could you share a little bit with listeners about what your journey was like from the military to your first civilian job experience?
Yeah, actually, very interesting. So my last 2 years on active duty, God bless the SEAL teams. They gave me a bit of a break. And so I was a Navy ROTC instructor at the University of Texas, where I also completed my MBA at the McCombs Business School. And during those 2 years, I also started an organization called Vetted Foundation alongside the UT McCombs Business School, the Texas A&M Mays Business School, and Wharton. We had some significant players that were backing it, from George P. Bush to Admiral William McRaven. And that sort of gave me a lot of exposure to the veteran transition. We did a lot of research. And then eventually, having dealt with the Texas A&M Mays Business School, the chancellor of the entire Texas A&M system, which is about 12 campuses, John Sharp, very influential in Texas, had met me and pretty much said, "You're coming to work for me." And so, you know, quickly got a job as the executive director of all veteran services for the Texas A&M system. But you know, there was a much more lucrative offer from Jocko Willink and Leif Babin, my brothers, to come work for them and have a bigger impact on America, spreading this this wonderful theory of extreme ownership and really instilling it into organizations. So my first job out of the gate was not long lasting. That's okay. I got a taste for higher education, didn't much like it. And hence I'm now on with Echelon Front. And then I started this company alongside Jocko Willink and Leif Babin, EF Overwatch. And actually, so correction, my title for that is CEO. It was a merger of what I had learned from Vetted and Echelon Front with leadership. And that's how we're becoming a premier talent acquisition firm.
How did that connection with Jocko come about?
So that connection with Jocko comes about from 2006. We served at SEAL Team 3 together. I was in his task unit. He was my task unit commander, a brother. He was a coach and a mentor to me, still is. And we've always stayed in touch over the years, as well as Leif Babin, who I got very close to. Leif was a platoon commander in that task unit. And, you know, throughout my SEAL career, they remained close. And I probably, out of the gate, should have went directly to Echelon Front, especially having this idea of EF Overwatch in the back of my head. But known Jocko and Leif for quite some time.
And what was that genesis? Like, where did the idea for EF Overwatch come from?
So again, it was like, you know, chocolate and peanut butter, and all of a sudden you have Reese's. So, you know, Jocko and Leif had already built a wonderful company in Echelon Front to have an impact from the Fortune 500 to the small to medium businesses of America. And then on the other side, I had Vetted dealing with, you know, catapulting our good military leaders into the fabric of corporate America. And that was on the nonprofit side. And there's a lot of lessons learned over the inception of Vetted up to this point. I remain a board of director, but it was just the perfect recipe. And in fact, we came up with a equation that says talent plus leadership equals victory. And that really defines the Echelon Front EF Overwatch relationship, and hence why EF Overwatch is a subsidiary of Echelon Front.
What I gave like a brief overview of Overwatch in your bio, but what would you want listeners to know about the work that you're doing right now?
So, you know, at the end of the day, talent acquisition is about leadership as well as talent management. Once you get the right talent through the pipeline, then you have to manage it and lead it in a way that you retain it, quite frankly. And, you know, the one thing, the reason we chose to focus on the special operations community in particular, as well as combat aviators, is they are some of the most vetted individuals in our nation, in the military and in our nation, bar none. You want to become a Green Beret, it's a 12-month pipeline of continual assessment day in and day out for one of the toughest jobs in the military. Same with the SEALs and the rest of the special operations community. Now, the one thing that we know corporate America, you know, as well as small to medium businesses, is they're always looking to fill their companies with the right talent. We learned this very early on with the special operations communities. The SEALs, the Green Berets, MARSOC, they are all going out to the feeding grounds to recruit the best talent into our pipelines. It's the same thing for corporate America. And we at Echelon Front and the EF Overwatch team know little about that, and really pairing the right leaders with organizations that have a desire for leadership. And the relationship has been beautiful. The special operations members, even veterans themselves, you know, non-soft members we placed as well. It comes down to a mindset. The pairing between them and the companies, the feedback has just been phenomenal. I think if you really wanted to classify EF Overwatch, it is the premier talent acquisition firm for leadership, bar none. And what is the greatest producer of leadership in our country, if not the world? The U.S. military, without debate. And, you know, I think another thing that sets us apart is, you know, hence the name Overwatch, which is a military term. Once we place these veterans, these leaders, let's say these military leaders in the companies, we stay with them for up to 12 months with phone calls, updates, assessments, in order to ensure that they succeed within the companies that they've been placed, that it's a right culture fit, that we can do our best to foster that. No other talent acquisition firm does that. So it is truly a white glove service that if you're looking for the right talent, you know, and have the ability to look past the lack of industry experience, it is the company for any organization out there looking for talent.
That's great. And one question that comes to mind is, you know, it seems like you are this bridge between leaders in the military and leaders in the business world. For those people listening who are on active duty, do you have any advice for them in terms of leadership traits to make sure they bring with them into the civilian workforce, but also, and just as importantly, any traits to leave behind in the military that won't serve them in the civilian world?
You know, it really is a blanket question. You know, every community, every service within the military is different. So this is why we chose to focus on SOFT, because SOFT works in a very cross-functional environment, and they're very good at building coalitions. For any military leader coming out dealing with transitions, one, start your transition preparation early. You wouldn't step out onto a mission in Iraq or Afghanistan without doing diligent mission preparation and planning. Your transition should be approached the same way, except it is more the MDMP process, military decision-making process. It is thorough. So if you start 2 years out, you start that personal inventory, you're talking about leadership traits, which is the first step that we design in what we call the veteran transition map, is number one is know thyself. So you talk about these leadership traits. In order to start the transition process, you have to take a personal, in a brutally honest personal self-assessment, a personal inventory of where your strengths and your weaknesses lie. And then you need to know those like the back of their hand. You need to convey the value to the hiring managers that want to hire you. You have to convey your value. For any military leader, just take everything that the military taught you and bring it into the private sector. Own everything in your world. Build relationships. Give very simple instructions that everyone understands so they can execute. Have the ability to operate in chaos and have this ability that we call to emotionally detach and make logical decisions on what we say, prioritize and execute in the military. And then lastly, build your teams to the point where you can truly emphasize decentralized command, let go of little control, and allow people to lead at all levels. Now, if there was one thing I would tell veterans to leave behind, is this almost passive sense of humility. We use, you know, we in our vernacular pretty much 100% of the time. I need you to actually step away from that. And when you step in front of these hiring managers, I need you to convey the value that you bring to that organization. And don't undersell yourself. I need you to use the word I, which is so foreign to the team-oriented culture of the military. But in that interview, it's about you, about what you did. It's fine if you occasionally reference the team that you built and how you succeeded together. But talk to me about how you built that team and what you did to ensure victory. And a lot of veterans, that's a difficult leap. The one thing I would say is, you know, any money you invest on you during the transition, review it as return on investment. If you end up spending, you know, $1,000 on yourself with interview preparation services or coaching, people helping you with a resume, to land that $80,000 job, that's a complete return on investment for that $1,000 investment that you made. And again, I'm using a trivial number, but invest in yourself and start using the word I a lot more during that process.
It's such great advice. I mean, it's definitely been a theme in the 240 plus interviews like this I've done. And I think that you really articulated that well, of the importance of not having that selflessness and being able to speak about your own accomplishments, not just the team. I think that's really important. And you started to touch on the veteran transition journey map. Do you have any thoughts there on how someone can approach that self-assessment about their strengths and weaknesses? And then I'd love to kind of hear about the other pieces of that journey map.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, the best way, there's a lot of great tools. You have to use them to your advantage. And if any veteran wants to find this, they go to www.ef, Overwatch, all one word, .com, and go to career resources. You know, from the Clifton strength test, that's a great one. Even if you just find your five top strengths or actually assess them all 39 traits, other tests such as, you know, the Wonder Score or One Score by Wonder Lake Disc Assessment, you know, the big five personality tests, they all have their benefits, and they will all help you sort of narrow in on what your strengths are. Now, you know, you also want to know your weaknesses. You definitely have to explain your strengths and how that is a value to any organization that you join, but also be able to speak to your weaknesses and what you do to either augment them or overcome them. But that is a key question you're going to get in the interview. And Justin, I have to point, especially for the veterans listening, and I'll allow you to identify the numbers. You had an individual named George Randall. George Randall is a former Army officer from the late 80s, early 90s. And this guy has been in the talent acquisition game for veterans for the last 25 years. He did two podcasts that are absolutely wonderful that every veteran should listen to, especially about interviewing and how to approach the questions that you get.
Yeah, George is just a wealth of knowledge. I think I had him on the show and had him back on the show within a few weeks. He's he is a wealth of resources. And for listeners, I'll add in the show notes a link to the career resources at EF Overwatch. When you go there, you'll see, you know, it talks about step one of know thyself, and then two, career and industry research, and it maps out six different steps all the way to execute, and is a great resource. But I'll also include links to those other resources that Mike mentioned. What about I'm wondering, you know, we kind of jumped over it, but could you share a little bit more about Vetted and about its growth and what they do as an organization?
Yes. So Vetted came out of a few conversations during my time at McCombs. The chancellor at UT was one of my former bosses, Admiral William McRaven. He also hired a general named Tony Kukulow. And even discussing the transition with them, they were not happy with the state of it. So they sort of issued a challenge, which was to do some research into the veteran transition and the systemic challenges facing our veterans today. I stood up a team of veterans, about 20 of them, in the UT McCombs MBA program to include one former Army general who's a clinical psychologist by trade and another MBA professor. We did about 6 months of research, identified the challenges, and you know, did another 6 months of gap analysis of current transition programs out there to identify what we really consider a middle, sort of middle pipeline solution for veteran transition. It's very thorough. It takes a lot of commitment, but I'm glad to say the pilot course, we saw pretty much a 100% hiring rate at around a starting average salary of $95,000.
That's extraordinary. What advice do you have for listeners? I know so many listeners aspire to start their own company, and you've been involved founding Vetted and with EF Overwatch, and just kind of curious any advice you have for a veteran listening who wants to eventually start their own company.
Absolutely. First piece of advice is go for-profit route. The nonprofit route is a difficult task. It definitely will. You'll take your black eyes. I learned a lot, and that's eventually why I think I went into the for-profit, because the private sector just reacts to for-profits differently than they do for nonprofits, and that's where I felt I could have the biggest impact. You know, I applaud anyone for taking the risk to start their own businesses. The fact is, you know, the statistics show that 9 out of 10 startups fail. So be committed, and do what is necessary to make, you know, help your company succeed. In that, a lot of veterans come to me with business ideas, and, when I give them, you know, not so glowing feedback, you know, they sort of retort because they develop this sense of emotional attachment over their idea, whether you like your idea or not. And of course, naturally you are, it doesn't matter. You can be passionate about your idea, but if the consumers, the customers won't buy it, then there is no market. And that's why a lot of people fail, is because they can't emotionally detach from their great idea, to look at it from a different perspective, to do the market research, talk to customers if they would truly be interested. And if you can go through that phase and do a lot of research to set yourself up for, you know, ultimately designing the business model, you will be a lot more successful and you'll save yourself a lot of pain from going forth with an idea that the market just doesn't want. And that's part of the process, is the research is, as you talk to the market potential consumers, you'll do what you do, you'll do what you, we call a pivot. And that's where you change the idea to meet the consumer's desires. And then if you can do that, you'll be successful. It takes a lot of work. Entrepreneurship is the highs of the highs, and it is definitely the lows of the lows. When I started Vetted, you know, albeit I was a lieutenant commander, I was going through a divorce at the time, and probably not the right time to start a nonprofit. But I dumped in about $80,000 of my own money to get the thing off and running. I will not see any of that money back, but watching the first 25 veterans graduate from the course was all the return on investment I needed. You know, if you do not have adequate funds, you will go through some rough times. And as a 04, at one point in my, you know, my career while I was standing up Vetted, I had about $89 in my bank account, and things were extremely tight. So it's worth it. You just have to be truly committed, and you have to have the grit, the necessary, you know, attributes to actually put the work in to succeed.
That's great. I mean, I think that's such spot on advice. And I love what you said about the ability to pivot. I can say in my own 10 years of entrepreneurship, you know, missed at least one pivot. And I look back in the postmortem and view that as I was more in love with my product than I was with my ideal customer. And if I was really in love with that ideal customer, I would have listened to feedback that said that the product that I had poured blood, sweat, and tears into was no longer the product they wanted or needed, but there were some very easy fixes to address that and missed that pivot by about a year. So I think that's really valuable feedback from Mike about keeping your ear to the ground. And I also love his thoughts on keeping some dry powder in there, like making sure you have the money to be able to do this. Because, you know, I've found that things take 10 times longer and cost 10 times more money than you ever expect. And so making sure you've got the savings or reserves built up to give yourself the room to get this new company off the ground. A common question, Mike, that I hear from listeners is, you know, your journey, it sounds like you were at Texas A&M already, you were working there while on active duty, and you got your MBA. What advice do you have? Like, is an MBA essential for starting your own business? Would you recommend that? Or how would you encourage listeners to even think about whether or not to get an MBA before starting their own company?
So again, Justin, you're not the only one that gets that question. I get that question all the time. Do I need to get an MBA? And the answer is, it depends, which is the famous government answer. You know, if you have the time, if you're committed to doing it, yes, absolutely get an MBA, focus on it, learn everything you can, and it will pay dividends. I mean, you look at the statistics of MBA graduates and their starting salaries and then their acceleration of progression in terms of salaries over the course of their life, it's higher than you know those non-MBA holding citizens. Now, you know, for veterans, during our research for Vetted, we actually took a few you know financial or business acumen tests. We had we gave it to a number of veterans all the way from 06 to E5. And the average score was below 30%. For an MBA that took the counter group, it was above 80%. So, you know, it is a skills transition. It's a skills upgrade is what an MBA will provide. It will give you a baseline business acumen to step into the world and actually sort of accelerate at a faster degree. But, you know, if veterans think they can just step into a business and leadership's going to cure all, yeah, that's true. But you also need to learn the hard skills of the trade. And that's what veterans, one of the systemic challenges is we lack the hard skills that industries are looking for. MBA will sort of solve that for those that have the time to do it.
That's awesome. What about, you know, what was your experience like going through the Stanford Ignite program?
Oh, wonderful, wonderful program. I think it was, well, two people that were influential in starting it. It was actually one of my former SEAL commanders, a guy named John Rudella, who's now at a private equity group in Silicon Valley. And then a gal named Bethany Coates, who's just one of the most impressive humans you'll ever meet. And I think she actually broke off eventually and started an organization called Breakline in Silicon Valley, which is a wonderful program for those vets that are interested in going into the tech space. That will definitely give you exposure and help align your strengths with the right sort of vertical within tech. But Stanford Ignite, I mean, you're surrounded by 35 high-performing veterans from enlisted to officer across all different services and communities. And it was competitive, and it was 3 weeks of drinking through the fire hose. But it truly, I actually did that the summer prior to starting my MBA, and that was the best prep course I could ever ask for. And, you know, if you look, everything is about the metrics. If you look at the metrics of those that attend the Stanford Ignite program, I mean, you have successful startups that have come out of that, and you've had a lot of successful hires. So if, you know, a veteran is interested or considering that, apply. If you get in, it's worth attending.
Awesome. And for listeners, I'll add this in the show notes, but in episode 54, I sat down with Bethany Coates, and she's talked about Breakline Education. It's a great, great program. And so I'll have a link to that episode if you're curious in learning more. Mike, could you share a little bit more about, you know, in the bio, I talked about this extreme ownership mindset. What does that mean? And like, what is this entire body of work around when it comes to extreme ownership?
So during the Battle of Ramadi in 2006, talking about Jocko Willink and Leif Babin, we were thrust into a very bad scenario that was described as unwinnable. Ramadi, which is the capital of Western, of Al-Anbar province, West Iraq, had actually been declared the Al-Qaeda caliphate. Al-Qaeda declared that as their capital, and at the time they owned 2/3 of the city. We had a lot of challenges, and ultimately, you know, what got us through those challenges and made us victorious in the end was leadership. It wasn't the military might of the military. It was leadership at all levels across services. And when we got back from that, primarily Jocko really started coming up with this concept of extreme ownership. That term didn't come until a few years later, close to his retirement. But I still remember this brief, this concept of extreme ownership that Jocko would give to the young junior SEAL officers. And I actually ran something called the Junior Officer Training Course, and I'd bring them in. And it's funny, that was 2008, and now it's 2018, about to turn 2019. And these same principles that worked in the military are changing companies in the private sector. At the root of it, extreme ownership is about owning everything in your world. All the problems, all the failures, accepting responsibility, and then identifying solutions rather than pointing fingers and casting blame, which again, 99% of humans do. You know, really two perils, pillars, the laws of combat, the mindsets of victory. And they are basically the formula to build and lead high performing teams and then maintain victory. And if everyone adopts this concept of extreme ownership, again, the metrics within companies, speak for themselves. We believe it. It worked in the military. The military is one of the most austere, chaotic environments you'll ever you'll operate in. And if you can master that to some degree, then you're going to do extremely well in the private sector. And I'm telling you, the private sector knows that. They know that the military turns out leaders. So again, all the veterans, you have something they want. It's just on you to convey it to them.
That's awesome. Well, I always like to keep the last question open-ended, and you know, we've covered a lot of ground today, but I'm sure there's things we didn't cover. And so I'm just curious, what have we not talked about that you want to make sure that listeners know about before we wrap up?
You know, I'll talk to the veterans. You know, I remember right around the 15-year mark, a group of vets, primarily SEALs, sitting around a table drinking. And for whatever reason, it'd been put in our heads that, you know, the private sector was, you know, needing us. They were seeking us out. You know, we were going to start at these salaries of $200,000, and we could have not been more wrong. You don't know what you don't know. and transitioning out of the military into the private sector is very difficult. It's achievable. A successful transition is absolutely achievable. You just have to take ownership. And hence, that's why we love extreme ownership. You have to take over extreme ownership over your transition. In fact, I call it the golden rule to a successful transition, is that no organization or person can or should own your transition for you. You are solely responsible for your transition. You have to take ownership, and you have to do the work in preparation to succeed. A lot of vets that come our way pretty much just say, hey, I don't need interview prep. Just put me in front of the employer. And EF Overwatch does a good job of sort of bypassing the HR process. We get past the resume. We get that to actually executives within the company, and we line up interviews. So we have, our statistic of actually getting interviews for our veterans is probably much higher than most of our competitors. But interviewing is an art, and you have to put a lot of work into it. There are some questions as simple, and George Randall covered this. You know, the typical first question is tell us about yourself, and that will set the tone for the rest of the interview. And we've seen time and time again where veterans just lack, you know, any clarity over their leadership style, and they completely undersell themselves. So the veterans, you can never start your transition preparation off, and you have to build it. Preconceived notions, companies are just getting themselves at you. That's not the case. You, on you to convey the value to what you bring to that organization.
That's awesome, and I love what you're saying too about, like, it's almost like this conflict where it's like veterans are, because I've seen that so many times with myself and with others. It's like this expectation that you're going to get out of the military and make a certain amount of money. And it's like a group of people that are incredibly bright, resourceful, adaptable. And there's this, it seems like this misconception of what that process will be like. And so many people I've had on the show feel like they approach that transition as underprepared. And so I love what you're saying. I think it was one of the first things you said was start that transition process early. And I love that. You know, I just love the work that you're doing also to equip veterans to get past that interview, to get past the resume review, to get them in front of the interview, to make sure that they're prepared for that, and ultimately they can achieve the job they want. But it's, you know, going to take a lot of preparation work, and I worry that many people on active duty underestimate that amount of work. And I love your quote earlier about approaching this like you do with a deployment or a mission or anything else, like the same level of discipline and preparation is necessary. I think that's really, really spot on, Mike.
Thank you, Justin. You know, funny enough, I think it was General Pace speaking to a few veterans in Silicon Valley months ago that also said, to a degree, stop listening to young veterans that have already transitioned out. Yes, get their intake. But, you know, one of the valuable things too is, you know, even myself, I'm still figuring it out. I'm only 1 year deep into my transition. Has it been successful to this point? Yes, absolutely. But I'm still figuring things out as well. The best thing you can do is go get mentors out in the private sector who've been in their respective trenches for 20 years, learning their trade, albeit they never served, but they know it better than most veterans. So networking and mentorship from private sector leaders, or I call them private sector warriors, is absolutely a smart call. Talk to the people that are actually there, much like you know, troops that have boots on the ground. You're listening to them during that that turnover overseas.
Awesome. Well, for listeners, you can find more information about Mike and his work in the show notes. You can find him at EFOverwatch.com. You can find the other organization that he started, vetted.org. And Mike, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me today.
Dude, Justin, it's been a privilege, and I appreciate the invite.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Beyond the Uniform. There are over 200 free episodes at beyondtheuniform.io. They're classified by the industry of focus, the functional role the person plays, and more. Beyond the Uniform is hosted, produced, and edited by me, Justin Asiri. Our director of outreach, responsible for sponsorship and guest episodes, is Steve Bain. Our editor, responsible for the show notes and text transcripts for all episodes, is Kathleen Dillon. Our data analytics and insights advisor is Andrew Woolridge. If you are enjoying Beyond the Uniform, you can help us out by telling your veterans and friends in the military about this free resource. There is more information on the website about how you can sponsor an episode or donate to our program to help us grow the work that we're doing. Be sure to check out the coaching section of beyondtheuniform.io, where you can be paired with professional, subsidized coaches to help you figure out your next career move. You can sign up for our newsletter to be up to date on the latest happenings at Beyond the Uniform. And in each show notes section, there is a link to audible.com, which is providing a free audiobook of your choice to Beyond the Uniform listeners. You get a free book of your choosing, and Beyond the Uniform gets $15 to subsidize the cost of the show, regardless of whether you continue with audible.com or not. Check that out and more in the show notes for this episode. Keep the feedback coming. Let me know what resources would help you in your career, and we'll do our best to make that happen. Take care, be safe, and I'll be back next week with more interviews with military veterans about their civilian career.